this episode of Another Zelda Podcast, David and Celeste get together to build a top 10 list of some of the most interesting shopping locations anywhere in Hyrule.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Another Zelda Podcast. I'm your co-host today, Celeste Roberts, and with me, as ever, is Mr. David Geisler, right over here.
Hey, Celeste Roberts!
Hey! Well, we are in person again in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I'm digging. I'm digging the in-person episodes. I like it.
Yeah, it's really fun. Do you find it helps us react more?
Oh, always. More absolutely. Organically? Always mm-hmm. better. Always better to be in person. You can kind of bounce off each other a little bit more. And it's funny because we have our production meetings once a week, and those are always over Zoom calls because I live in Chicago and I live in Illinois and you live in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. But for recording these episodes like this, it's fun to just kind of get in and hang out.
Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that. Thank you for making the time to come down here. We're happy to host you. You're staying in our guest room.
Oh, it's been beautiful. It's been wonderful. Yeah. Absolutely my pleasure to be here. And you guys, you both have been wonderful guests. And we're having a fire tonight. We're having a campfire tonight.
So
I can't wait.
I'm so excited.
I haven't had a good fire in like 2 months, 3 months.
Well, I hope it lives up to your expectations.
It will. If it exists, it will. As long as we get to sit around and burn some wood and smell it. And I think we might even cook over it a little bit.
Yeah, huh? Some marshmallows, yeah. Some brats.
That'd be great.
So today's topic is, I think it's a really fun one.
Yeah.
I really enjoy these top 10 episodes. And today we are talking about top 10 shops in the Zelda series.
You and I have not yet done a top 10 episode.
And David was picking on me because I have a habit of saying top 10 favorite, whatever. For some reason, it's kind of redundant. I don't know why I want to say favorite.
I used to say it too. In fact, we technically have a weird episode in season one that's called like top 8 favorite, I don't know, items or something mm-hmm. like that. It was before we really kind of categorized our episodes a little bit more. Mm-hmm. In the mm-hmm. early days, we weren't sure how to do it. But now, a top 10 episode is where each of us are going to specifically picked 5 things that we think could and should be recognized in the category. In this case, it's shopping locations in the Zelda games. And we'll put them together and kind of create a definitive list. And if we match it, we sent out a little tweet, and I know you got on Discord this morning. We reached out to our audience, and we did get, I think, quite a bit of feedback on Discord mm-hmm. of some favorite locations. I haven't seen those locations yet, like what people have said. So I don't know if I've picked some or not, but I think what we'll do is if you and I have any duplicates, we'll fill in the extra spaces maybe with some of our favorites from what the audience has given us. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
I'm into it.
All right. So we got to start with listener feedback.
Yeah, I almost forgot. I'm looking down here.
Most important part.
Well, it is fun to kind of have I almost said to recognize our fans, but it feels conversational because our listener feedback is oftentimes conversational. Our listeners will leave a comment and they'll speak about their experience a little bit and allows us to speak back to it. And so I really do enjoy that. This first one here is from our world building episode from season 4, episode 11. That was kind of a special episode. That one was crazy, Celeste. It was Ryan, our blog writers, Ryan and Mallory Kuhn and Kate and myself all getting together in Chicago for like a little bit of a, it was a little, you know, the hinges were off a little bit on that episode, or is that the right expression? It was 4 people on mic. There was a lot of talking. It was kind of bouncing all over the place, but it was really fun. The 4 of us hung out and talked about world building in Zelda games. However, to that episode, Franco Peralta here on YouTube said, I could buy that idea of, we spoke about this a few episodes ago. The somewhat controversial idea that Breath of the Wild could be the only game that's in really reality, and all of the previous Zelda games are in fact legends that mm-hmm. exist in the Breath of the Wild universe, mm-hmm. hence Legend of Zelda. It's hard to, I know the Star Wars community always gets really, it's painful to learn that something that used to be canon is now legend, literally legends in Star Wars lore. But I actually kind of like this idea that maybe Breath of the Wild's the real one, and everything else is just legends, which doesn't mean that they're not true. They're usually based on stories that are real. But anyway, I digress. Franco Peralta, that's kind of funny. I could buy that idea of Breath of the Wild being reality and all games prior were just legends or tales spoken by people. Heck, looking back at the game, they kind of have in moments. Thing is, most Zelda games beyond Ocarina of Time kind of already do that. For example, Wind Waker treats Ocarina of Time like a legend in the opening, and a few other games like Twilight and Link Between Worlds treat others like Skyward Sword and Link to the Past like legends. So who's to say a future Zelda game with a new Link and Zelda in a hypothetical new timeline don't treat Breath of the Wild the same way? Oh, that's interesting. How many times are you going to retcon your canon and your legends, I guess, is what Frank was speaking to. Do you have any thoughts? I don't know if I've ever asked you about this kind of idea. Obviously, I've already been pretty clear that I think it's an interesting one and one that I kind of like. How do you feel about Zelda timelines and legends and canon?
You know, I don't know if this is a controversial take, but I don't really care about them.
Cool.
That the timeline aspect. I mean, it's interesting. Yes, yeah. I think it's interesting. And I think it's cool to read people's discussions and their theories about it. But I honestly, I'm not very good at keeping up with the chronological story order.
Sure.
So it doesn't, I don't know, I treat each one as a unique experience. And that's kind of what my focus is.
I often do too. And so in some ways, that is kind of why I like this idea of Nintendo being like, oh, people do care, you know, are the community, the fans do actually kind of like things to be maybe in a cohesive timeline. And there are some direct sequels in Zelda, of course. But if they finally, you know, this idea that maybe all of the 20 previous games, 20-ish previous games were reality to some degree and they're just legends, we don't have to focus on it so much. The three timelines, blah, whatever. You know, that could be, if we needed to get really super canonical, the three different timelines could just be three different parts of real Hyrule that would tell slightly different stories, you know, like a legend. And it's called Legend of Zelda. I think that's kind of fun. So yeah, I agree. I don't get too worked up about it either. However, knowing that Tears of the Kingdom is a direct sequel to Breath of the Wild gets me very excited. If moving forward, Nintendo is a little bit more aware of that timeline chronology, if whatever comes after Tears of the Kingdom is in the same universe as the Breath of the Wild universe or whatever, I'm cool with that. I love it. I love Star Wars canonical things. I'm the guy that I'm one of those people that does like Google Marvel timeline, you know, Star Wars timeline. It is fun to see. I think with Zelda, because the timeline's fun and we honor it when we speak about Zelda, but it was so retconned by Nintendo. It was kind of Nintendo being like, oh shoot, okay, we got to make this make sense. And they put the games together that I don't think it's the end all be all, you know? Dr. Johobo over here on YouTube on the Music of Twilight Princess episode, a more recent episode, episode 8 of season 5 here. Dr. Johobo says, this has to be one of my most anticipated AZP episodes. I absolutely adore the music of Twilight Princess. I generally listen to it when I do my printmaking because it's so ambient and beautiful and whisks me away to the epic universe of Twilight, of the Twilight. Thanks for this awesome episode, guys. Love the music episodes. Prayer hands emoji, green heart emoji. Dr. Johobo, printmaking. I want to see what they are making.
Yeah, me too. Is it like t-shirts or screen printing of designs on other things?
Dr. Johobo, if you're hearing this, reach out to us again. We'd love to see what you do and what you make. And I wonder if any of it's ever Zelda-based or if we could inspire Dr. Johobo to make some Zelda-based things. That would be kind of fun too. If not on YouTube, reach out to us on Twitter at Another Zelda Pod, Dr. Johobo. I did want to ask you, oh, this is weird. I'm going to ask you after this next comment, Celeste, because the next one's another music episode comment. The Music of Skyward Sword, Season 2, Episode 4. This is an oldie but a goodie. Poppy Schofield says, hi, AZP. My name is Poppy, and I love your podcasts. I listen to your podcast every day. It makes me really happy. You've made such a positive impact on my mornings. Thank you for all that you do. And remember, it's dangerous to go alone. Blushy smiley emoji. I love it. I love it, Poppy. Thank you so much. Celeste, my question to you was, and it's kind of based off, we have Music of Twilight Princess, Music of Skyward Sword. What game for you isn't necessarily your favorite, but what game has the music that sticks out the most for you that you might find yourself being drawn to?
Oh my gosh.
I'm basically asking, what's your favorite music in which game?
That's really hard.
Yeah.
That's really hard. They have so many great songs. Maybe A Link to the Past.
Woo, very interesting.
Because I think it sets kind of the precedent for a lot of themes like Kakariko Village. And I absolutely love the Dark World theme. My boyfriend Timmy and I went to see the Legend of Zelda Symphony of the Goddesses.
Sure.
And this was 5 years ago. I do believe they played the orchestral version of the Dark World theme.
Oof.
And I have it on the 25th year anniversary album that was released, I think, with Skyward Sword.
I have that CD as well.
Yes. I shivers down my spine.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's great. I love to hear it. So this is our final listener feedback. It's a touch long, so I'm just going to jump into it right now. Katie Hask over on Facebook left us some messages here. And Katie says, "Hi, David, or hello to whoever runs this account." It's us. It's us, Katie. Winky emoji. "First of all, I just want to say that for years, I have been talking the ears off my non-Zelda friends about Zelda games. I know I need to find better friends." Oh my gosh. "And you and your guests have absolutely filled that part of my life that was lacking, truly giddy and enthusiastic Zelda conversation. Just know that I am bubbling with excitement the same way you do when talking about certain aspects of Hyrule and beyond, the Hyrule and beyond universe. And I am so happy to have found your podcast. Already, or anyway, I just wanted to share a fun fact with you, David, that I thought you may enjoy if you don't already know." So here's the fun fact. It's a second message, as you can see. "So I moved to France about 5 years ago, and I was just recently playing my 300th hour of Breath of the Wild that I realized, in French, the sound a rooster makes when it crows, like we would say cock-a-doodle-doo, is expressed as cocorico, which sounds essentially exactly like Kakariko. So voila, Kakariko Village, the chicken province of Hyrule, the land of lost cuckoos, the hub of violent poultry, is named after the sound a rooster makes in the morning. Smiley emoji." Katie, that's awesome.
That is fantastic. Is that why Andrew is so obsessed with cuckoos?
I mean, Cocos? Perhaps.
I mean...
Perhaps.
I mean, that's not her name in Ocarina of Time, but...
Oh,
she's the cuckoo lady.
Oh yeah. What does she even have a name in Ocarina? Mm-mm. They don't give her a name
until
she runs the hotel.
It's so funny to call her Andrew, yeah. You know,
yeah,
or Grog. That's not his name in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. Yeah. Twilight Prince or Termina. I don't want to get into it too much right now, but I think I kind of subscribe to the idea that Termina is not even in the same dimension as Hyrule. Personally,
ooh.
I think it might be like, I don't think it's in this, it's not on the same map, I think. But anyway, Celeste, I hand it back to you.
All right. I am so excited to talk about top 10 shops. And I got to be honest, I did some research to pretty much every shop in Zelda in case there'd be one I had forgotten about, which doesn't mean it wouldn't be a top one for me. It's just, mm-hmm. you know. Life happens and you forget.
Well, I'd like to say, Celeste, too, certainly my five aren't even necessarily my favorites, but they are the top five that I feel should be recognized.
Okay. So I wanted to kind of think of also what makes these shops different, because it's very easy to think, oh, I'm going by items at the shop. So would you like me to start off?
Well, okay, let's think about this. Who ends? Would you like to end? Or are you... Oh, no. Do you know what? I kind of really like my number one.
Okay.
So I'll end. So yes, why don't you start?
Okay. So I'm going to kind of go in order. If the last one I name will be my favorite out of these.
Okay? Yeah, we're going up.
Yes.
Five to one. One
five
being
to
our,
one.
Most, our most needing to be recognized.
Okay. I'm going to start with the Carpet Merchant in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, yeah. I almost had this on my list.
Really? Okay, so if you don't remember, he's in the Haunted Wasteland, and he's on a flying or floating carpet, and he's really funny because you don't actually know what he's selling, because he says at first, "I won't tell you what it is until I see the money," which is 200 rupees, and he is selling bomb chews, which I kind of feel a little unsatisfied.
Yeah, it should be a little more specific, or a little more unique, I suppose.
Yes.
What he's selling.
It's like a blind bag. And I need to know, how is he surviving out there in the Haunted Wasteland? He has no resources. You have to use, I think you have to use the little floating hover boots to reach him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, even though I'm not pleased with his wear, I like the uniqueness.
Yeah. I actually, that's why I didn't put him on my list eventually, but it was the uniqueness. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's obviously got a little bit of magic powers if he's in a flying carpet. So that's maybe how he's surviving. Maybe he's I don't know. Maybe he's just, you know, yeah. Okay. My headcanon will be that he just kind of flies out to that area and then maybe goes somewhere else to actually live.
Mm-hmm. That's a good. I don't know. I mean, he has a floating flying carpet. He can go wherever he wants.
Yeah, I remember being a little spooked by the character design of that character, actually, when I first saw him.
I don't know, just all the hair,
the pointy nose. I was kind of like, what's going on here?
Oh, he looks like a stereotypical 1960s hippie.
Yeah. Yeah, like I'd say so.
Okay.
Oh, and then he's on the flying carpet. He's on a magic carpet. Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
What about you? What's your number five?
Well, my number five here is, I feel like you probably don't have this, but I put down Vaso Jewelers.
I did not.
The Oracle series.
I've never played the Oracle series, so.
I'm in the middle of playing Oracle of Ages right now for a future review episode. I've played Oracle of Ages when it first came out, you know, almost 20 years ago, and I'm playing it fully, really. I mean, you dive back in every couple of years to some of these games, but I'm playing it to the end. I'm playing it completely right now for the second time only. And Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons both have ring shops. Now, since you've never played, I'm starting to realize that you're probably not familiar with the ring system in the Oracle games. Mm-mm. You have played Minish Cap, though, I think.
I have.
And Minish Cap was made by the same team at Capcom that made the Oracle games.
Okay.
Do you remember the Kinstones?
I love that.
Okay, you love the Kinstones. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right, cool. Those are kind of hit and miss, too. I think these days I kind of like the Kinstones. The first time I played, I didn't like them, but now I've played Minish Cap two or three times, and I actually kind of get a kick out of them. So one thing that the Capcom team that made these three Zelda games, one thing they did, they technically made the Four Swords Game Boy Advance one too. But anyway, the rings, there's a new mechanic. So the Oracle games run off a beefed up version of the original Link's Awakening engine. Mm-hmm. And so you're basically playing with Game Boy style graphics. And the Capcom team, what they love to do is they love to like add one more system on top of normal Zelda play. In Minish Cap, it's the Kinstone system. Mm-hmm. You know, little extra thing, little extra buffs or whatever. In the Oracle games, it's this ring system. So as you play the game, you will literally find from characters and whatever rings that you can wear on your fingers, I guess. And you have to go to a shop to get them appraised, and then you learn what they do, and then you can wear one ring at a time, and eventually a few more. This ring shop exists in both of the games. Mm-hmm. The shop itself is fine. A guy with kind of I would say maybe like a turban or like a you know, like the stereotype of like the fortune teller kind of hat, okay. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. This guy's wearing that. He's a big, huge mustache. The shop itself is not particularly interesting. But I wanted to put it on the list because it was an early time. I wouldn't say it's one of the first times, but maybe it's an early point in the Zelda series from release order that a shop was used in a kind of a new way. Mm-hmm. You're not just going in there to buy things. You go into the shop to learn about your rings. You wear the rings. And some of them do crazy things. One of them just turns you into a like-like. Once you put the ring on, you literally transform into a like-like.
Okay.
One of them makes it so that bad guys aren't scared of you. One of them makes it so that your damage is twice, but the money you earn is double, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's so many rings, I've never found them all yet. There's clearly, I mean, when you go through the menu, it looks like there's slots for 30 rings, and maybe I've found 10 total my entire life ever. And so I just kind of wanted to recognize that. The ring system, love it or hate it, I think also the first time I played Oracle of Ages, I didn't like the rings. I was kind of like thinking like, I don't need this in my Zelda game, which is how I felt about Kinstones the first time I played. I was like, okay. I don't need this in my Zelda game. You know what I mean? But actually, I want to commend the Capcom team that worked on these Zelda games and actually say, actually, I want to hand it to you and say thanks for considering and thinking of maybe some new systems that can still work inside a Zelda engine.
Now, when you say rings, are you thinking like the Sonic rings that you collect or
a finger ring?
Finger rings. Okay.
Yep. They definitely look like finger rings.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So the Vasu Jewelers shop, which does exist in both Oracle of Ages and Seasons. And one thing that's kind of fun about in Seasons is that depending on what season you're in, the roof changes color. But I honestly think that's more just because of the palette swaps that happened during Seasons, and they couldn't afford an extra color. I think that's more of just a game design thing. Not a game design thing, a game mechanic thing. Like by accident, the roof changes colors. Blah, 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 I'm done.
No, I love details like that. That's one of my favorite things.
Okay. What is your number four?
Granny's Potion Shop in Ocarina of Time.
Wait, I got to think about that. Granny's Potion Shop?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of out of the way. It's in Kakariko Village.
Oh, yeah. Wait, there's a Granny's Potion Shop in Mm-hmm.
So as a child, you can access it only with a kaku because one of the carpenters is blocking your way to access it the other way.
I from see.
The front. So you can fly over the fence by the windmill.
Okay.
And but she's not there. You check the door to open it, and she says she's out in the field foraging for ingredients or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you go as an adult, it's you walk in. I like the atmosphere. Because there's that, I don't know, it's also used with the Poe gatherer that you can sell to in the Hyrule Castle Market, that kind of mystical music, like you feel like you're about to go into a fortune teller's shop.
Okay.
And Granny is petting this either, I don't know if it's a pet tiger cub or a pet cat that looks like a tiger. You remember? She's...
No, I'm giving you the wide eyes right now because over the course of us recording a couple of these episodes at the end of season 5 here, I've learned that there are massive parts of Ocarina. Well, not massive, but there are like little hidden gems in Ocarina that I don't think I've experienced. I'm sure I walked in there once when I was 17 years old.
Yeah.
And like never went in again. Because when I'm adult Link, I don't actually spend much time in the shops as adult Link. I don't know why, but now I got to go check it out. So tell me more.
So, especially as a kid, I would do the first person view and look around everywhere I could. And she's petting this pet. And in Majora's Mask, a fun nod to that, you know, Granny Andrew's grandmother in the wheelchair. If you go behind the wheelchair, she has this icon or picture of a tiger.
Oh, really?
And so I think it's a fun little callback.
Wow.
To that character in Ocarina of Time.
Now in Majora's Mask, that's the lady that like reads you the stories to help time pass.
Okay. Yes, okay. In the Stockpot Inn.
Oof! I got to go look behind the chair now too.
Yeah, all these little details.
Man, you're bringing the sprinkles here on the top end of the cake. I never knew these existed.
So I like the atmosphere. It kind of reminds me of this clandestine speakeasy. Like you know, it's kind of hidden. It's not quite out there. So I was kind of wondering with the music and it's dark in there. Would there be some kind of occult type items? Like what am I getting myself into?
Yeah.
So what else can I say?
Well, what is she selling?
She's selling potions.
Just potions.
Yeah, potions. So let me see. 7 years in the future, you're able to gain access to her shop by either using the hookshot from Kakariko Windmill or the back door of the medicine shop.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, you can walk through the back. And I like that she's part of that fetch, pass the baton quest to get the big Goron sword.
Oh.
Because you have to give her, I think it's the, not Kojiro. That's, okay, so she's the mother of that very depressed young man.
Oh,
at the,
yeah.
You know, in front of the tree.
At night.
At night, and she's married to the head or master carpenter.
Oh, I never knew that either.
Because he talks about his son. And
he does talk about his son. Oh, I guess we could do
that. And then you learn that the cuckoo lady or Andrew, just so you can picture
future Andrew.
Future Andrew.
Other dimension Andrew.
that's their daughter and the sister of the sad man.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Whole another story.
Because she gives
in there.
You Kojiro, the blue rooster or hen, and that's he's the only one that can activate him or something.
That makes the son happy again?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever done these things.
Oh, did you get the big Goron sword?
I've never got the big Goron sword. I knew about it. I always got the fake one and it broke and I'm like, I'm out.
Well, it is worth pursuing if you'd like a little bit more into their connections and their story, more dialogue. So yeah, Granny's Potion Shop.
Love it.
Number 4.
Wow, that's
great. What's your number 4?
My number 4 is, and then I think maybe we'll go to break after this or something. I don't know. It's usually good to save the last 3 for the second half.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost a character. But I'm going to pick a specific shop, and I'm going to pick as my number 4 Beetle's Shop Ship from Wind Waker.
Oh, that's okay. That's
the Beetle
a good
Boat
one.
Is what the I Beetle always boat. Call it. For a couple reasons, it obviously introduces Beetle, a character that becomes slightly beloved. I mean, I love seeing him in Breath of the Wild personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's great. I even like his character in Skyward Sword, especially after I found his little home island that he lives on.
Mm-hmm.
It's the introduction of Beetle. That's fine. That's cool. But also it was a shop that the items were dynamic. They weren't always exactly the same. So like in Ocarina of Time, if you go into a shop, it was always exactly the same arrows and the same Deku nuts and the same shield and you could buy them or not. And I remember Beetle's Ship Shop, Shop Ship, Beetle's Shop Ship is the official name as I look at it here. I thought it was kind of fun that it was dynamic, that the items were dynamic, that it moved around. You had to kind of find it. You'd see it off in the distance and you'd have to go to it. And that was just kind of fun for me. I just like that. I want to recognize it as, I never found it as annoying. I I like his like little floating ship in Skyward Sword, even though it really just goes in a circle. It's more just like for the fun of it. But I don't know if I have much more to say about his ship. Just that it introduced a new mechanic into the game system. And I genuinely remember my first time playing Wind Waker, seeing a small little boat kind of in the distance. And I felt like Wind Waker was the first Zelda game where I kind of felt like I was in a living world a little bit. When I go, when you go to Eventide Island, or Eventide Island, and there's characters actually walking around. That didn't happen in Ocarina of Time. Mm-hmm. Even Majora's Mask had it because they were programmed, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But most of the time, NPCs just stood in one place. And in Wind Waker, they were at least walking around. And so then when I was out on the ocean in the early parts of Wind Waker, I remember thinking, wow, the ocean's so alive. There's so many boats and people are just living their lives on this ocean. And I went to a boat and it was Beetle's shop. And I thought, oh, this is so cool. I can, you know, just kind of hop on a boat and be with a merchant. Obviously, as you continue to play the game, it gets a little bit more repetitive. But that was my four. I don't know if I feel like I'm defending it a little bit. Maybe I was not super secure with my choice. But I am a fan of Beetle. I love Beetle in Breath of the Wild. And I just thought, well, it's a different, I guess both of these shops, the reason I'm recognizing them is because they're slightly, they're a twist a little bit on the classic shop.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you ready to go to break?
Oh, sure. Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
All right. See you later.
Hey guys, I'm Sam.
And I'm Jake.
We have a podcast called Top 5 Nintendo, and this season we are discussing all things Pokemon.
Oh man, I know nothing about Pokemon.
And lucky for you, I know a lot. So here are the top 5 reasons to listen to this season of Top 5 Nintendo.
Number 5, we give you the real answers on Pokemon.
Number 4, we help you improve your game strategy so you'll never lose again.
Number 3, you can observe our bond of friendship.
Number 2, you can anticipate the excitement of a new Pokemon game with us.
Number 1, and most importantly, you can relive some nostalgia of over 25 years of Pokemon.
So come check out Season 2 of Top 5 Nintendo, where we'll be ranking and discussing all things Pokemon.
See you there!
Hi everybody, David here. I just wanted to take a second to tell you about another Zelda podcast's brand new merch store. Yes, we've opened up the store to celebrate the beginning of Season 5. In fact, I'd like to tell you about our Another Zelda Podcast logo t-shirt. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's our logo on a classic t-shirt, but yeah, it does look pretty neat, especially on the 20 different shirt colors that you can select. All of the staple colors like red and green and black are there, but there's also asphalt, military green, slate, royal heather. I'm not joking, that's one of the color selections. So if you're interested in displaying your Another Zelda Podcast fandom, head on over to our website, anotherzeldapodcast.com, and click on the merch tab in our main menu right up on the top of the screen there. All right, let's get back to the show.
Right, we are back from shopping. I'm just
kidding. My gosh, I just got back from Castletown, and boy, did the things I find were amazing.
I don't know. What would you find?
I got this cool Keaton mask. I bought my third Hyrule shield, or my third wooden shield. I don't even know what I'm talking about.
You have a problem. This is an intervention, David. You have too many shields.
Can you imagine Link walking around with like one in front, one on each arm, one on his back, just walking around like a weird turtle?
He'd be the most protected human being. Alien, I guess, not human being. I don't know.
People would knock him over. He wouldn't even notice.
He'd be protected. like how the things you wear whenever you're skateboarding or rollerblading.
Knee pads? Knee
pads? He has shields on his knees.
I love it. That's right.
We did not go shopping, but we have more shops for you, listeners.
Nailed it. Love the transition, Celeste. Nailed it.
So do you want me to go next or do you want to go next?
Why don't you go next so that we stay in order of going back and forth?
We're just so excited because we love this topic.
I'm having fun with this.
Okay. My number 3, it's kind of cheating because it's multiple shops.
Well, this is the part where I start wondering if we start getting doubles. But anyway, keep going.
Okay. I have to say the shops in Tarrytown.
that is not what I thought you were going to say. And that's awesome. When you said multiple shops, I was like, I know where she's going. She's going to Skyloft.
I thought about it. I thought about it, but
let's do Tarrytown. I love this.
So I was like, they need some love. I love that side quest, first of all, in Breath mm-hmm. of the Wild. I love the representation of the different groups and cultures and races in Breath of the Wild all living together. It's very harmonious, very beautiful. And then you have different shops and they are all set up outside. And they remind me of how if you go to a festival or some kind of convention, you would see the different displays, the different proprietors. I think it's very charming and very cozy.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I had a great, weird relationship with Tarrytown. The first time I played that side quest, I did not enjoy it. And I don't know why. It just didn't click for me. But I remember Kate shared a lot of love, and a lot of the other blog writers shared a lot of love for Town Now.
And on second and third playthroughs now, I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it. I love going to Tarrytown now.
I think maybe I was a little turned off by the blocky aesthetic of the pre-built buildings.
I don't like it.
But it's fine. Now I'm not like offended by it or anything, but it, you know, it's fine.
Are you amused by, if you look closely, it looks like they're stapled or taped together?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a comment on like the suburbs or like, you know, prefab houses
and stuff like that.
It's kind of like, oh, look at our super efficient thing. And I think there's a little bit of an inside joke there, a touch.
Because mm-hmm. I thought it was hilarious. Like, oh.
And some of the blocks are even a little crooked.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if I'd want to live in one of those types of houses.
Boy, what does that say? Oh, wait, because was it the builders, Bolton, his builders, are they the ones doing those prefabs? Because they exist in front of Link's house.
Yeah, they have the model home.
Mm, the model home, yeah.
Which I think they retired to. No, they go into a tent at perhaps. Night, I think. I can't remember. Link has his
they
own
start
house.
In a tent, I think, on the side. But anyway, yeah. So Tarrytown, the Tarrytown shops. Also, another famous thing about it's a Tarrytown shop adjacent, but it's the only place where you can get the Hyrule Shield again if you lose your Hyrule Shield.
I can't think of his name, but he's the son of the scientist, Robbie.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
He's hanging out on a balcony.
Mm-hmm. So he sells it. So that's my third. What about you, David?
Well, okay, let's see here. You have any other thoughts about any other feelings about Tarrytown?
I'm curious. It's cute. It's calming. Charming. Love it.
Okay. All right. I'm in. My third pick on the list is one, also Breath of the Wild, now that I think about it, now that I look at it. And I hope, I'm a little nervous about my picks, but I picked them and I like them. It's Kochi Dye Shop in Hatno Village.
I almost put that one because it's fun.
Again, I think my theme here is shops that are a little bit different,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you're not just going in and buying. The truth is, an honorable mention that I have, which I guess I'll get to later, I have a couple honorable mentions, is the very first clothing shop in Kakariko Village mm-hmm. in Breath of the Wild, because it's the first time, you know, you kind of get your Hyrulean vest or tunic, the old man gives you the tunic mm-hmm. and all that stuff. You kind of start getting some clothes, but it's the first time you're in a town and you can go to a store and you're like, oh, wait, I can buy this helmet or I can buy this hood. That's a very special experience. But at the end of the day, it's just a shop, just like all the other shops. I can't remember what that one's called. I think it starts with a D. But anyway, I wanted to pick a shop that was a little bit different. And I do enjoy customizing the colors of my clothes. I think I've customized all of them multiple times. And Kochi Dye Shop. The Kochi is the dude, I think, right? The guy who works there, or maybe it's their last name?
Maybe so. I think he kind of looks like Grog.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think he's inspired by Grog.
His aesthetic is a touch off putting for me, but I don't mind. The shop does the playfulness of dropping you into the ink. It's almost cartoony.
Yes.
It's a ton of fun. I love that. I believe it's his wife is out front mm-hmm. and she kind of has a little bit of side eye here and there when she's talking about things. It's also another thing from a game development or a game mechanics point of view. One of the things that was really cool about Breath of the Wild for me, and I've read in interviews with the developers that this was very important for them to accomplish, was that you don't have to go to a load screen when you go in and out of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first Zelda game where you truly can just walk into a building.
And I love that seamless transition.
Oh, I love it too. And you'll notice they actually emulate that the focal point, that the lens that they're using on the digital, on the camera, if it were a real camera, they actually rack in and they use a different lens. They use a lens that makes the inside look a little bit bigger than it actually is. And if you walk out a door, the next time you walk in or out of any door in Breath of the Wild, pay really close attention to the focal point. The distortion of the lines, it kind of zooms in and out a little bit when you walk in and out of a building. So it helps you basically when you're outside in Breath of the Wild, the digital camera emulates using like a slightly more not telephoto lens, but a longer lens. So something where you can see into the distance a little bit more, and everything's a little
stretched out. When you walk into a building, they morph into something that feels a little bit more like
a wide angle lens. So you could think of the skateboard camera lenses, the super fisheyes, not that far, but more of just like a normal wide angle where you can kind of see a whole room. So when Link walks into a building, it does transition just a touch. One thing that's so fun about this die shop is that its door is humongous. It's really just like a huge opening.
It's like a garage almost.
It's almost a garage door.
Yes.
And so I have
so much fun just walking in and out of that little precipice, that line where I trigger indoor camera and trigger outdoor camera.
And because it's so wide, you actually can see. So if you're standing in the shop and you're looking out the garage door, you can see the outdoor world in this wider angle lens. And then you just walk forward a few steps and the whole world goes and it distorts again. And it's just so fun to do. Next time you're at the shop, just kind of slowly walk back and forth and notice how the camera angle, not angle, the lens actually changes. So that's a ton of fun as well.
I want to say that even though this is not the topic of the episode, Hatino Village is my favorite village. Like, that's where I'd want to live.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's the Kakariko is pretty good too, but I think, I've always said Hatino, but I probably say it wrong. Is the most well-realized, the most realized mm-hmm. town shop? Is it? Yeah, I think so.
And I think I actually spoke about it. I wrote into the show many years ago, and
when you're just a wee listener, just a fan of the show, now you're a co-producer. Well, how about that trajectory?
Life is strange, like the game. But
do you remember the first time at that first video game summit where you joined us as a guest? Mm-hmm. And we were, you said like, oh, AZP was the first show I ever listened to.
And then Kate made some joke about like, now you're on it. And we all laughed. And then she, I don't know if you listen to that episode closely, she actually like kind of like half quietly goes, next thing you know, you're going to be running
the show.
Oh,
she said that like four years ago.
Oh my God. Okay. I don't want to get to that level. That's dangerous territory.
Well, you're co-producer now.
I know.
You're running the show. Anyway, isn't that weird?
I remember writing it and saying, oh, if you listen to the theme of Hatino Village, it kind of sounds like Shenandoah, which is an American
Folks. Oh, wow. I don't know if folk song is the proper term. Like, sure. It's a popular song. It reminds me of that song. So
cool.
Listen to both if you get the chance.
I'll have to think about it. That's great. That's great. Yeah, I love the die shop.
I love it too. This one is, I think you're going to have this one.
Are we doing your number two?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes, you're looking at me weird.
Because I think you're going to know, I think you have it on your list somewhere.
Because of the jokes I've made so far? Let's do it.
Mallow Mart in Castletown.
100% no.
What?
No, I don't have that at all. This is amazing. I don't think we're going to have duplicates.
I was like,
we keep thinking.
Because on Discord, so many people said Mallow Mart, which is understandable.
I haven't seen the Discord comments yet.
Mm-hmm. Mallow Mart is listed multiple times. Cool. And it's funny because people are like, Mallow Mart, of course.
Well, it's because of the personality of Mallow, I think, to some degree.
Yes. So what gets me is the song, the theme for Mallow Mart. I absolutely love it. Bum. It's very upbeat. So
cool.
So he previously, as uh-huh. you know, it's before Mallow acquires it, it is Chudley's Fine Goods and Fancy Trinkets Emporium.
That's right.
Very pretentious name. You even have to have your shoes polished or shined before you can walk into the store.
Wow.
It is a requirement. Everything is completely unattainable, incredibly expensive. Chudley is kind of pretentious.
Princess.
Yes. He's very pretentious. The way he walks around, he kind of reminds me of an unlovable Fraser Crane.
Wow.
But Mallow, if you remember, I don't know how old Mallow is. He looks like a little...
He looks like he's 4 years old. He looks like almost infant level. But.
Yes. He kind of has that like an Asian aesthetic. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if this is correct to say, but like a Buddha type, like the Buddha statue.
Sure.
The pudgy, the pudgy
cheeks. To say
that
he kind of looks like a Buddha statue, that's okay.
Yeah. So. Like he has like the cheeks and the eyebrows. Sure. Like that's what I was like, oh, he must be inspired. Or a little, is it Pewdie? Doll? Pewpie?
I don't know
Cupie,
what words you're Cupie saying.
Doll. Cupie doll. Has
I
like
still
a peach,
don't know what you're talking
peach
about.
Peach-shaped head. Okay.
I'm with you.
Cupie, Cupie doll. Okay.
Is that a brand of dolls?
In I don't know if it's just Japan, but very popular in Japan.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to show it to you.
Cool.
So he first opens a shop in Kakariko Village, and then he wants to buy Chudley's, and he is so sassy. Mallow is the sassiest little thing I've ever...
Celeste, I don't know if I've ever been to Mallow Mart.
How do you go through Twilight Princess without visiting Mallow Mart?
I mean, here's another thing. So my like secret thing I try to never admit is that when I play Zelda games, I love to explore. I love to look all over the place, but more like in the wilderness aspects. Mm. When I get into towns, half the time I don't even go into half the shops because I'm kind of like, I don't need it. I don't need to talk to people. I don't need to play these games. You know, I don't even really pay much. Sometimes if I go into a shop if I go into a building and I see it's a shop, I'm like, okay, cool, noted, out. Like even in Breath of the Wild a little bit. That's just how I play.
Oh, okay.
I don't spend much time talking to people. Maybe I'm a touch of a recluse when I play as Link. I don't know.
Wow, I'm the complete opposite type of player.
You probably chat with everybody and
multiple times to see if the dialogue changes.
The closest I ever got to that was kind of talking with people in Skyward Sword to do all the different day, nighttime. What are those gratuity crystals or something? Mm. Is that what it's called?
Gratitude crystals.
Gratuity crystals.
Gratuity. You gotta pay gratuity.
Yeah, that was. Then I did. It was rewarding. It was nice, but I don't usually chat too much. Because you just got to read all that stuff.
Yes.
Celeste, you're like, you mean you get to read all that stuff?
People put their heart and soul into writing that dialogue, but I forgive you.
I'm 100% not saying it's not important. It is tremendously important. You know what I mean? But that is certainly with Breath of the Wild and some of these Zelda games, that's what's kind of nice about them is I've spoken about this many times in the show. Like the coolest thing about the best Zelda games is you can play them however you want.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I have a little sense of humor. I'm not like a punk about it. I don't walk into a store and I'm like, I'm out. But it is true that I don't usually dwell as much in the conversations. However, when it comes to my second here, and it comes to being in a town or a marketplace and talking to people, mm-hmm. this one does necessitate many of those things. So this is a situation where, hypocritically, I actually spend a lot of time chatting and talking with people, a lot of time in quotes. My number two is the Skyloft Bazaar. I had to have it in there.
Okay, so that's when I was talking about Tarrytown shops. You thought I was going to be talking about this.
You said it's more of a collection of shops, and I was like, Skyloft Bazaar, here we go. And it wasn't that at all. It was Tarrytown.
So what do you like about this one?
So there's a few things I like. When I first played Skyward Sword on the Wii, whatever it was, 10 years ago, and I went into the bazaar, I remember feeling a little cheated. I remember thinking, I wanted a town. I wanted Castletown. I wanted Tarrytown. I wanted a collection of buildings. And they basically just built one building, a tent, and wedged it all in there just to kind of make it easier to make all this stuff. You know, I mean, I actually mm-hmm. was kind of disappointed. I thought like, well, all right, you built one building and you just put it all in here. However, once I got over that, and especially playing this time around with the HD version, I really started to appreciate how the different parts of the tent morph and change to what you're doing. Certainly the music changes wherever mm-hmm, you go. Mm-hmm, and I started looking at it maybe more, not like a shopping mall, but I started to just take it what it was. I was like, okay, I'm not going to get the big, coming off of Castletown in Twilight Princess and going into basically Skyloft was difficult for me the first time around.
Ooh, mm-hmm.
Because Castletown is so well, it feels big, it feels well realized and all of that. And then, Skyloft in general is kind of big, but I've also said this in the past on the show. Skyloft is Hyrule Field and Kokori Forest and Castletown all in one. You know, they just really take anything that's anything, they wedge it right onto that one island in Skyward Sword. And even that would have been more fun if we had more islands to go to. You know, maybe there was like the market mm-hmm. island. But anyway, I digress. The reason it's actually my number two, though, believe it or not, is in one of my favorite shopping experiences is because I do enjoy the dialogue with the different shopkeepers. I like the extra programming that's been put in. I love how the guy who works for the, like, where you buy your shields and your items mm-hmm. and swords, I love his programming, how he kind of follows you around and looks and chats with you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
There's some interesting coding going on there. You know, the guy that upgrades your stuff, that's fine. That's all just pre-animated stuff. I think the side quest with the gal that holds your things for you, I forget her name now.
Petrus,
something like that. I had a ton of fun with that on my mm-hmm. Skyward Sword playthrough this time around. And I actually enjoy, even though I didn't the first time, but this time around, 10 years later, I do enjoy the potion shop with the husband and the wife mm-hmm. and mixing the different potions and how they have a relationship with each other. And also it's kind of fun to walk over into the other corner and see that little cafe and sit at the tables a little mm-hmm. bit. And so aesthetically, even though it is one building, if I want to be kind of a grouch about it, it's one building. The truth is, there is effort that got put into it. The lighting is kind of interesting. I love the rotating wagon wheel lamps that are spinning. Mm-hmm. I actually like it. So I actually think that it's, for what it is, even though it may not be six city blocks like in Twilight Princess, I think it's well realized.
Do you ever, this just occurred to me. Do you ever feel that it's a little ridiculous that they even have a currency system, because they're all on this floating island? So it's almost like it would be a commune where, okay, what can you do? Okay, you can make potions to heal people. That's your role. You can cook. That's your role. You can forge things. That's your role. So it's just, it's amusing.
I've never thought of that. I think that's an excellent point. I think you're onto something there.
I'm not saying, okay, I'm like, serious. I guess it's a, you know, what's the incentive to do this thing? Oh, you get paid, but it's not.
Maybe if there were five other islands that were like Skyloft, yes, then you have an economy.
Like, I mean, you have the Lumpy Pumpkin.
The Lumpy Pumpkin, yeah, right, I know. The Lumpy Pumpkin's the only one.
I'm thinking too much about the economy of Skyloft.
No, I agree with you, though. You're right. When you only have 50 people living on one island, it you know, economy, and actually, there isn't, you know, basically, you're Skyloft and you're going to the ground and coming back. Mm-hmm. There really isn't talk or chatter about other islands or other cultures. I don't know. I mean, there's money because it's a Zelda game at that point. And I do think that's in some areas, in some ways, that is where Skyward Sword is weaker than some of the other Zelda games, is some of that logic.
Yes. Yeah. But I still love it. Still love it.
Yeah. I like Skyward Sword too. Yeah. I like Skyward Sword too. So, and look at this. I mean, the Skyloft Bazaar is my number two on the list here, you know?
So now it's my turn to name my number one.
I think if my theme was shops that are a little different, Skyloft Bazaar is even definitely a little different, because you're not just walking into the one shop to buy the shield or whatever, and you kind of can experience a little bit. And so, yes, I believe we are on to your number one.
I'm curious if it's also your number one.
I think I can guarantee it's not. I think we have no. I have a feeling we have zero duplicates, which is awesome.
Are you ready?
Go for it.
Zunari Shop.
Definitely not that. Okay. What the heck is Zunari Shop?
That is in The Wind Waker. He looks like a little Eskimo.
Yes.
He's beneath the bar.
The bar, okay, sure, yeah, where you get your sail and stuff. Mm-hmm. Okay,
so
yeah.
When he first arrives to Windfall Island, Link, that is, Zunari Shop has nothing but a sail to sell. Try saying that five times fast. Sail to sell. Once he buys the sail for 80 rupees, Zunari's business begins to grow with the help of Link and the wandering merchants, which are like these Gorons throughout the,
yeah,
the
that's
great
right.
sea. Once Link forms a merchant's oath with them, the merchants begin to deliver decorations to Zunari's shop. So that was a really fun little side quest. I loved decorating the town with either flags or flowers or statues.
Wow. What? When does that happen?
So after you, the first item you can get to trade is this town flower. And then it's obtained from Zunari's shop, and as Link continues to trade with the different Gorons, more items to sell begin to arrive at the shop. Eventually, his shop turns out to be a huge success with a variety of items to sell that can help decorate the island. I absolutely loved decorating the island. It's not the whole island. There are little sections where they have to have a little pedestal type thing to place an item, but you can customize it like you want.
I've been criticized for not doing most of the side quests in Wind Waker. I've admitted to not doing most of the side quests in Wind Waker when I played it the first time around, or the HD version, mm-hmm. even when we did the review version for this game, for this show. Obviously there's a lot of opportunities for me to dig into those side quests. My issue with the game at the time was that I wasn't motivated for those side quests. Whereas for some reason in Breath of the Wild, I am. I don't know what the difference is, but that seems fun. That seems cool.
It's cute. I feel like it's small.
You know, the final parts of season 5 here, it's been so great. I'm so grateful that we've had 3 episodes together now, mm-hmm. because it's true. Once you start, you mix, we've been making the show for a couple of years, but like, we haven't had a chance to truly talk about some of this stuff. And the stuff that you're pinging is stuff that's not even on my radar. And I love it. That's the best thing. You know what I mean? I go like, I have no shame in when you mention something and I say, what the heck is that? That's only awesome. It only means like, oh, wow, now I got to go back in there and mm-hmm. see what that is. I love it. No, I had no idea that you decorate the town, mm-hmm. Eventide Island, I guess, right?
Windfall.
A Windfall. What's Eventide?
Oh, I think you're thinking of Breath of the Wild. I don't think you decorate that one.
I often accidentally say Eventide Island for Windfall Island.
All the islands are.
Yeah, you're right. Windfall. I even think I said Eventide earlier, but anyway.
But I'm dying to know what your number one shop is.
Well, I kind of want to drill down on this one in Wind Waker a little bit more, but okay, let's keep going.
Okay, you want to? What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. After you buy the sale, usually I was like, peace out.
Well, there's a little bit more. I mean, it's nothing as evolved as Tarrytown, but it's cute. It's fun.
Can you put different statues and different flowers on any pedestal, mm-hmm. so you have a little bit of creative control?
Yeah, so like your island could look different from my island.
Well, that's neat. Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right, my number one, and I'm fine, comfortable, and proud with this. That's not me being defensive. I picked the original shop from The Legend of Zelda, the very first shop you ever walk into.
Wow.
The buy something, will ya, shop. The dude is selling a bomb, arrows, or a shield. The shield is 130 gems or rupees. The bombs are 20 and the arrows are 50. And you can't even use the arrows until you get the bow in the first dungeon. But I always try to find at least one shop that is part of like the really old games. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's important to recognize, in some ways, if the bazaar of Skyloft was this kind of, even though I was a little sour on it when I first started talking about it in this episode, ultimately like a very well realized, felt like kind of people were living in that tent, mm-hmm. situation. Sometimes you also have to recognize where and when the seeds were planted for this stuff. And so the first time there was ever a shop in any Zelda game ever, the first time you learn that you're going to have the opportunity to buy things, I think you go up one screen and over and left one screen and boom, there it is.
Yes.
It's the dude saying, buy something, will ya? And that had to be my number one shop because that's what started it all.
Wow.
Are you cool with that? I'm so nervous.
No, well, I've truly not played a lot of the original Legend of Zelda, like maybe a minute or two.
Dig into it on your Switch if you can, on the Nintendo, you know, the Nintendo, mm-hmm. games app. It's great. It's worth it. And the cool thing about that is you can kind of save state anytime you want.
Oh, okay.
So that's handy.
Why would you be ashamed of saying that that's your favorite one? You think
so? I don't know. I've been weirdly protective of all five of my choices tonight. I'm not sure why. I gotta have more confidence in myself.
Are you investing in these shops?
Maybe it's because I don't go into many shops, and so I feel like I'm nervous that there's some shops that I haven't experienced that are cooler. But I guess this is speaking to my experience.
That's okay, though. That's the beauty of it, because we all have different experiences and, mm-hmm. different favorite shops.
Well, like I'm gonna go decorate Windfall Island now, and you're gonna go buy something from the Buy Something Will Ya guy now on the Nintendo game, and our fandom increases and grows. Celeste, why don't we get on out of here?
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait. After all this, I forgot you're actually hosting this one.
What about, are there any feedback pieces you'd like me to share?
Well, you're right. Thank you for being a good host here.
I was about to say.
Thank you for being
David,
a good host.
David!
Please, I think, so this morning before we recorded this episode, we tweeted, and I think we got a reply from Mallory, one of our blog writers, mm-hmm. but also you threw it up on our Discord channel. I think we got a ton of replies. Mm-hmm. Take me there. Let's go.
So to be fair, Mallory also said Beatles shop.
Oh.
And then...
I sounded like Beatle just now.
Bruther's in-law, Ryan yep. Kuhn, her husband, he said he doesn't know if it counts, but the bars, like a shop.
Oh, yeah. I have some honorable mentions. That, mm-hmm. reminds me.
Oh, you want to do that first?
Yeah, I'll just hit them real quick. Just two of them.
Okay.
One is the Castletown Cafe in Twilight Princess. Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it so much. I think it's great. I love the aesthetics. I've mentioned it in a previous episode, a few episodes ago. The reason it's an honorable mention is because it's technically food-based, not like item-based.
Yes.
It's more of a restaurant than it is a shop. And then the other one, here's one that's kind of was challenging for me, but that's why I wanted to put it on the list. Under the Deku Tree in Breath of the Wild. The little Korok shop.
Yeah, it's really cute.
I don't ever really buy anything there, but it is super cute, and it's aesthetically very different from the other shops in the other, I guess, towns or whatever. And I just wanted to note it. It was like, it's really kind of, I remember the first time I went, I was playing Breath of the Wild, I was kind of walking up and I was like, am I going underneath this tree? And you get in there and the lighting's adorable. Yeah, you can sleep on the bed. There's simple stuff to buy. Nothing's too crazy. Mm-hmm. It's all very just kind of logistics. But I just wanted to put it in there as an honorable mention because of the aesthetics.
That's awesome. I like that.
So what did we hear from our listeners?
So on Discord, we asked people's favorite shops. Mallomart came up a lot. Jake and Bake said Ravio Shop.
Oh, that's Jake from Top 5 Nintendo, mm-hmm. another 6-5 show.
Mm-hmm. Ravio Shop from that's Ravio, a Link Between Ravio, World.
Ravio. Worlds. Link's, mm-hmm. Home, Ravio, mm-hmm. Shop. Fascinating. Oh, I wonder why that's one of Jake's favorites. Good mention, though.
Get some Patrice from Andy Spiteri.
Andy Spiteri from the Zelda cast said Patrice?
The item storage shop in Skyloft. Is that separate? The whole, well, Petrice
shop is fun. Yeah, it's inside the Skyloft tent. All right, cool. Thanks, Andy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, her side quest is a blast.
A lot of Malamart, a lot of the shops. LL Whoops says the Curiosity Shop in Majora's Mask.
I'm trying to remember that one.
It's the one, it's a little shady because it's like the bomber, you know, the bomber guy, Saikon, he can steal things and then sell them at the Curiosity Shop. That's kind of how they procure things. Yeah. Kind of like a chop shop, I guess. I don't know if those
like
are
a Jawa. Really,
little gray area right there. let's see. Tris, I'm so sorry if I mispronounced his name. Trist Bablons, yep, says Malamart, but also the potion shop in Majora's Mask with Kome and Kotake. Let's see what else. The Happy Mask Salesman Shop from Shane says that one. Ocarina of Time. That's his favorite shop. It's a fun side quest.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, it mm-hmm. is. It is. Yeah, it is the big trading quest in that game.
Got a lot of Beetle. Someone said,
hey, Beetle represent.
Yes. Crew 2E. Definitely the shop from Link's Awakening, since the shopkeeper does not allow thieves.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's really, really fun.
That's a great mention.
Okay, Dave Wayne says the
David
shop.
Dave Wayne Nystrom?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. He says the shop in Kokiri Forest for certain. First of all, the Kokiri who works there is having to hop up and down just to see you. It's really cute.
So honestly, David, that shop almost made my list too.
Because of that?
Yeah, because it was just kind of the first shop you get in Ocarina. It's cute. The guy can't. It's in Ocarina of Time. It's the first time where you're kind of like, you're like, oh, I'm going to be buying things. And you first time you experience a shop. I ended up not even putting it in honorable mentions, but I'm glad David mentioned it.
Thank you. Okay, I thought he was just doing a dance. I didn't realize wasn't because he could see
over
the counter.
He's trying to see you. He's trying to. He can't.
I thought he was just
there
doing a dance. Well, I learned something new today.
I mean, that's my interpretation of the animation.
Yeah, that's so funny. Special note to the Granny's Potion Shop. Thank you. Mm. Mine. Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're really scrolling through a lot. This all happened in one day?
Yeah, a few hours. Cherry Fluffy, not a shop, but I love the bazaar in the Gerudo area in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Just, there are so many shops in there.
Sure, yeah, that is cool.
Stephanie Kay, who's a blog writer and a contributor for us, shops in Ocarina of Time just for the music, like bum, 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 bum.
That classic
bum,
music.
Bum. My mom used to dance to it. She'd walk into the living room.
Oh, okay. Like, I thought she'd like put it on and dance to it.
No, while I would be playing Ocarina of Time, she'd start dancing to it. It has a kind of a Cajun Zydeco mm-hmm. feel with the accordion.
Sure. We'll hold. Sure, yeah.
All right.
Cool.
I think that's everybody.
That's great.
I'm so sorry if I missed anyone. We had a lot of Malamarts and Beetles.
I see. That's great. That's great. Cool. I think let's get going.
I think we need to go shopping. mm-hmm. That's what we got to do. Well, David, thank you for letting me host this one. Listeners can find us on anotherzeldapodcast.com, where we also have blogs, articles, and fun stuff for people to enjoy. Mm-hmm. You can also find us on Twitter at Another Zelda Pod, Instagram, Another Zelda Podcast, YouTube, Another Zelda Podcast. The actual audio would be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts.
Those are the three big ones. We're on a bunch of other like little mm-hmm. podcast apps that have found us, and that's fine.
Okay.
And if you go to our site, anotherzeldapodcast.com, we have links to our Facebook page, links mm-hmm. or links to our Patreon and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so where can people find you though, David?
Oh, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at RaptorPaint.
And I am on Twitter at FairyCrypt. So I think it's time we go shopping. Get your rupees ready.
Bum, 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 bum. All right. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.